Well, years ago when I was in seminary, I had a friend who in preaching class, after preaching a sermon in class, received this feedback from his classmates. You have a good heart, which is exactly the kind of feedback a preacher wants. Just kidding. It's almost like going out on a date with that girl you really worked up the energy to ask out, and there at the end she says, you're really neat. None of us want to hear that. You're neat. You have a good heart. This morning, we continue in a two-week series called The Invitation. And last week, we focused on Jesus's invitation to greater direction, an invitation to come and see, which is a movement towards belief. Then we saw the invitation to come and follow me, which is a movement towards real friendship with Jesus. This morning, we continue in that journey, and the invitation from Jesus is one to greater discernment. What do we mean by discernment? Faith seeking understanding. How God is leading in our lives. Discernment is paying attention to the Lord's leading, learning to hear his voice so that we might know it's him and can follow him. And the invitation is to greater discernment. And there are two points that I want to make. First, deeper discipleship is a movement towards greater sacrifice. Second, deeper discipleship leads to life on mission. That's for everybody in the room. Leads to greater sacrifice, leads to life on mission. And our starting point is what Judy read, Mark 3, 13 through 15. Jesus went up onto the mountainside. Throughout scripture, the Old and the New Testament, there is a lot that happens up on the mountainside. Powerful things, revelation is given. Intimacy experienced, mission and vision are laid out. And the disciples are on the verge of all of that. So far in Mark's gospel, the first two chapters up to 3:13, five of the 12 disciples have been invited by name, but in this scene, Jesus is going up onto the mountain and he called to them those he wanted. Be with me. Come and be with me. He designated them apostles, rightly named them as such for two distinct reasons. Number one, that they might be with Jesus, not do for Jesus, but be with him. And number two, that he might extend his mission through them as they go, as they scatter, we gather and we scatter. And this was a twofold sending into the world, a scattering to preach with authority, and with that authority to drive out demons. Those 12 were close to Christ. They'd experienced this, come and see, come and be with, follow me. And they're moving towards sacrifice, surrendering everything they'd ever had, everything they'd ever wanted in exchange for real life. And it didn't just happen overnight, it happened over time as they fell in love with the Word made flesh, as they gave themselves to deeper spiritual disciplines and practices inspired by Jesus, the Word made flesh, as they served in ways that really stretched them, feeding the 5,000. Lord, we've got to do something. You do something. And they did. They participated with Jesus. There in the context of that community, they were learning to tell their own faith story even as it was being written. Undergirding all of this, they were safe in the kingdom, experiencing wholeness as they shared their brokenness with one another. That type of vulnerability is the secret sauce for transformation. Deeper discipleship is a movement toward greater sacrifice. I'm sacrificing my ego and my pride and being vulnerable. Can we be real with each other? There comes a point in time when all the direction in the world is impotent without discernment. And so deeper discipleship leads to a life on mission. As we learn to appropriate this revelation given and apply it to our lives, that's why greater discernment is so important, leading us to a life on mission. And Jesus paints a picture of that in John 15. Our ultimate goal is seen in John 15, a life that's fully rooted in Christ. This too doesn't happen overnight, but Christ meets us all right exactly where we are, and he begins his work in our lives, and we experience this movement towards belief, and we begin to grow more deeply in love with Christ and with people. And those who are in these first two stages are needing greater direction. They're receiving it as well. And the reality is there is always more of God to experience. There's more about me that I'm learning. There's more of me to surrender, more of God to receive. And there are resources here at Marvin Church that we provide, classes we offer, disciplines we engage in together. But that direction is accelerated as we realize Scripture has something to say about how I live my life at work or at school, or what Scripture has to say about marriage, how we communicate and resolve conflict, or how we project ourselves in all of life. Jesus said, John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our primary task as followers of Jesus Christ is to position ourselves for fruitfulness. God's primary task in creating the world, in creation and salvation, is fruitfulness. That is the litmus test for being Christian. What it means, the proof that we are Christian, because there's fruit in our lives, bearing fruit that is internal. There is Christian character being shaped and formed. Fruit that is external, talking about people coming to Christ. That's our mission, to bring people to him. Fruit that is eternal, those are the only two things that will last. Our character, people, internal, external. And the way we bear that fruit is to abide in Christ, to remain or continue on in Christ. And not producing fruit should give us all reason to pause and reflect, what does that say about my heart and my lips and my life? Abiding in Christ looks like a fruitful branch connected to a hardy vine. It looks like the loving union between husband and wife. And this is beautiful and fun and fruitful, but in these first five verses of John 15, there is some negativity. Jesus makes some comments that are kind of harsh. So let's reframe them. I am positive that apart from Christ, we can't do anything. And I am positive that in all of life, there is a pruning that is normative and ultimate. Normative in that this pruning happens to us and it happens along the way. Ultimate in that this pruning is reserved for that day where we'll all stand before Christ. Pruning is God's way of shaping us to look more like Jesus and live more like citizens of his kingdom in this world that is so fast-paced, blinders on, hectic, frenzied, frenetic. And our call, our vision is to look more like Jesus, live more like Jesus in this crazy world. On our discipleship pathway, we call this ultimate goal this abiding, this producing, Christ-centered living. And that's the goal for each and every one of us in this room and under this roof, those who call Marvin Methodist Church home. It is the cumulative effect of one's discipleship journey. We navigate this journey of faith, and there are four stages we've identified. It's the journey that all Christians everywhere are on, the result of life together, life with Christ, in and through him. One commentary said, abiding is the continual dependence and reliance on Christ, obedience to him, tenacious imbibing of his life. The tenacious imbibing of his life. In New York City, there's a man named Ed Fauber who is a professional coffee taster. How would you like that job? He's actually certified by the state of New York, and with a blindfold on can tell you where this coffee bean was grown, what its altitude was, where it's from, what mountain. Talk about tenacious imbibing. He is so familiar, so experienced with, has so much drunk from this exquisite liquid we call coffee, that he could tell you everything about it. That's what tenacious imbibing is, that over the course of life, we are so intertwined. We've drunk such deeply from this vine that is Jesus, and abiding is deeply connected to tenacious imbibing. Abiding in Christ produces fruit that's never meant to stay with us. Jesus overflows into the lives of others. That's where mission begins, and it often starts very small, by holding a door on Sunday morning to those who are coming onto this church campus. And God only knows where they come from, why their heart is so heavy, why there's such despair. But because we're here early and holding a door, we get to make eye contact with them. Could change everything, at least for the day and maybe for the next hour. And over time, it can grow into taking initiative, like organizing a work day of Marvinites to do yard work for fellow Tylerites who can't afford to do it, can't physically do it themselves. And so we gather people and we mobilize them to blitz our city with love and service. And as we're working, we might relate to them and say, tell me about your faith journey. Oh, there's not one. What's your greatest challenge? Tell me about your life. And we value them and give them dignity as a person. And over the course of time, it might look like things that are extremely unplanned. Love Thy City recently, an event in our community where churches came together to serve people in our need. We had a member who walked onto that campus that day, the Brookshires Conference Center grounds, and said as they were walking into the conference center, Lord, where do you need me? And she discerned, walk into the conference center and turn right. Okay. And she turned right and got to the end of this hallway, and there were two single mothers that she prayed for. And she cared for their children because she discerned the Lord's activity in her lives. That's what missional living looks like, taking cues from Jesus in all of life, in the places that we work, shop, frequent all week long, growing in the frequency and our comfort level of having spiritual conversation. And let me just say, what's your greatest challenge is a sneaky way to ask someone how you can pray for them. You all can do that. We can do that. And the goal of all of these things, from door greeting to where are you working, Lord, where do you want me? The goal of all of it has less to do with Marvin and more to do with God's kingdom. But believe me, if there were a room full of people who were growing in these things, it would deeply affect Marvin. The kingdom would come. Sometimes we think that giving everything we have to Christ means walking into his presence, putting $1,000 on the table and say, everything I have, Lord, it's yours. Take it. When he might say to us, pick that up and go into a bank and cash it in for quarters. And one quarter at a time, give someone dignity. One quarter at a time, engage in spiritual conversation. Just one quarter of your life, would you say, Lord, where do you want me today? It's a new school year. I'm a teacher walking onto this campus. What are you doing here? I get it, sometimes it feels like we want to ask ourselves, what are you doing here? He is up to something, and he invites us into it. And this idea of missional living is not just one grand experience that is earth-shattering. It might be at times, but it's more like 25 cents at a time. Embodying the gospel, sacrificing my desire, my way, my will, my time, my agenda, so that God can move. Last week, I talked about our discipleship pathway here. This morning, we've talked about it a little more. Our framework at Marvin that helps people learn and discern where they are and get moving, growing in their relationship with Christ. This pathway has four stages: exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, Christ-centered. Again, the goal is Christ-centered living. This is our discipleship stage cheat sheet the discipleship team has created, and I know it's hard to read, so if you text the word CORE to the number 90382, we will send this to you this afternoon. But it captures many of the thoughts we've already discussed. Our faith journey is a process. It happens not just one moment in time, but moments all the time. We are saved and being saved. We are all over the map with respect to who we are, how we're wired, how God has met us, and where we are with him on this journey. Yet he meets us, each one, right where we are, and there is no cookie-cutter approach. And sometimes we would like it to be just nice, neat, clean, linear. Let's move from one stage to the next. But we go four steps forward, 42 steps back. It looks more like this. Spaghetti on the wall. Lord, I thought I was there. Man, I am so far from the ideal. And we pick ourselves back up and we take the next step and do the next faithful thing we know to do. And that's easier in community. The journey is not linear. Years ago, 1,000 churches were surveyed. 250,000 people were surveyed. And this survey revealed that the largest group in most churches are those who are in stage two, growing in Christ. In fact, of that national survey, 39% of all respondents identified in that stage. And we've seen that same pattern here at Marvin in 2021. We took the survey. 50% of those who took the survey self-identified in stage two. 3 years later, 2024, 40% self-identified in stage two, growing in Christ. Both of those are more than the national average. And I think that our systems are ideally suited to produce the results we're getting. Let's get people when they join, when they come. Let's get them in a Sunday school class. Get them in a Bible study. And those things are good and important, and we'll never stop doing them because people need greater direction. But for decades, that's all churches have done is feed people, give them content, make us fat, dumb, or smart and happy. And there's so much more. If our results were giving us feedback, I think they might say, Marvin Church, you've got a great heart. Your discipleship, it's really neat. Good job, and it is a good job. I want you to hear me say that, but I think our numbers are telling us a story. That there is a gap between greater direction and greater discernment. And if we want to see real transformation in our lives, in our church, in our world, we've got to figure out how to close that gap, because we are learning Jesus, living our lives patterned after him. Processing that learning is the essence of greater discernment. More than ever only being spoon-fed great content, whether it's at Marvin or that podcast you listen to. More than being down the road further than someone else and giving them advice, it's helping them to pay attention to the Lord's activity in their life and their world and experiencing that on our own. Heartfelt sharing with others who are actively listening to and talking to God on your behalf. That's why we practice that in this gathering. We give silence during our prayer time because we think God speaks and we want to hear his voice. We don't want to miss a thing. As we become familiar with God's voice in here, we just might become more aware of it out there. Lord, what are you doing here? Let me tell you where I'd like you to go. We're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. And one of the best ways to sharpen that between this gathering and our scattering is by coming together in small groups and in smaller groups over the course of time with trusted individuals. Small groups called class meetings, smaller groups called discipleship band meetings. And hear me say, there is no formula for discipleship growth, for maturity, but if we want to close the gap from greater direction and greater discernment, it requires time plus trust equals transformation. Doesn't happen overnight, happens over the long haul. As we learn to trust God and each other, we begin to experience this work in our lives. There is no shortcut, no substitute. The fruit of abiding in Christ grows best in the soil of our shared life together, where we can be real about our struggles and our shame. Or we can celebrate the work of God in our lives because I paid attention and I heard his direction. And we can learn to discern God's voice together. Sometimes I'd read Mark 3:13-15. Jesus went up on a mountain and he called to himself those he wanted. I'd be like, I want to be wanted, pick me. And sometimes I read the rest of that verse, how God, Jesus, invited those 12 to be with him and to send them. And I'm like, was that just for them then, or is that for us as well? Next Sunday morning, Kevin Watson's going to preach on John 14:12-14, where Jesus said, whoever believes, greater works than these will you do. That is the fruit of greater discernment. That is a fruit of our lives remaining tethered to Jesus Christ. And that is something that everyone who can hear my voice, everyone is invited into. Come and see. Come follow me. Come and be with me. Remain in me. Next week, I want to invite you to come a little early. Bring your Sunday school class into this space at 9:45, and then we'll experience just a little bit more intel about classes and bands. And if you're not interested, at least you know what we're talking about. And then stay to hear Kevin Watson preach. But let me ask you this morning, how is it with your soul? How is your life in Christ, with Christ? Are you willing to take the time, build the trust, and experience transformation? Lord God, we are hungry for more of you. And we don't want to miss a thing. And so we pray that you would bless us and stir our hearts, that we might hear your invitation to receive this gift of your presence and begin this journey in the context of this community. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.